Hello and welcome to Hot and Bothered with me, Sarah Jane Dunn. This brand new series is all about exploring our sexuality as women and banishing the taboos that are holding us back. Today, I am so excited to be joined by the one and only Lou Featherstone, also known as Lou in Louland. And I thought it was best to introduce Lou how she describes herself on Instagram. So, Lou is a vibrator advocate. Bear with me on this one because it's a tongue twister. She's a menopausal midlife mindset shifter and a positivity rebel. Lou is an incredible role model and motivation coach who helps women of all ages feel completely comfortable in themselves. And I am so excited to have her on the podcast to spread some much needed joy. Today, I would like to sort of chat about the menopause, if that's good with you.
Yeah, chat away.
I mean, you've got so many amazing things that we could chat about. And I know that you've talked a lot and I've listened to a lot of your interviews on other podcasts and obviously follow yourself on Instagram. If you're not following Lou, then you've got to start following her now because she is just a ray of sunshine. But you've been touring America on your tour bus, Susie, with your self-love revolution. Is that, where are you now? Are you back in the UK?
I moved back to the UK in November, end of October, November. And yeah, it's been quite an adjustment.
Oh, I bet it has. So previous to that, you were living in America, weren't you, for anyone that doesn't know?
Yeah, I used to live in Brighton for 10 years. It was London for years. And then my then husband, my son and I moved to Portland in Oregon for 8 years. And then, so we separated in lockdown. My son's gone off on a gap year and he's then going to college. So it's kind of like, well, what's next for me? So I bought a really old rickety, rackety vintage bus and drove it all the way around America.
I love that. Of course. What else would you do? I absolutely love that. Well, we'll get onto that a little bit more in a sec. So let's open the podcast like we always do with our hot and bothereds. So, Lou, what has recently got you hot and bothered? I'll let you go first.
What has got me hot and bothered? I would say Gary Lineker.
Oh, I know.
Go on, Gary. And Ian Wright, because he always makes me hot, to be honest.
Yeah.
He could do anything and it would make me hot. Just the sight of it makes me hot. Yeah.
Amazing.
Anyway, Gary Lineker. Go on, son. Damn straight.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly agree. I love that everyone's like, he got so much support as well. And I think that's brilliant.
That made me happy. That gave me some hope.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
And bothered has to still be the politics in America, the abortion law. There's a proposal for lawmakers this week in Texas trying to impose the death penalty on anyone who has an abortion.
What? Are you actually serious?
And that's coming from 21 Republican lawmakers.
Oh, I just can't. I very ignorantly try not to watch the news because of how upsetting it is and how I feel very, very out of control. And I know we all feel like that. And I know there's amazing people doing amazing things out there. But when you hear things like that, it breaks my heart. Like, where do we even start to sort of...
I don't know. It's wild. When I did go on the bus around America, I was so scared to go down to those states, down to sort of Texas and Alabama and all those places.
Yeah.
Scared for a variety of reasons. I think I'd put off going down there because it just feels, you know, where so much pain and agony and so much sad history down there. They're just so, so difficult. But also, obviously, I'm a loud mouth with my vibrators in one hand, you know, trying to empower women, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So I was quite scared. And I realize when I'm there, it's just one conversation at a time. I met some fascinating humans, as you can only imagine.
Yeah.
But lots of them had never met anyone who made them think in a different way. I kept talking to people and the overwhelming comment they kept saying was, well, we've just never thought about it like that. You know, I said to a guy, he's anti-abortion, and he went, oh, you're one of them. And his wife was trying to drag him away from me, go, don't talk to her, she wants trouble. And I just said, no, I don't. I'm interested to understand how you think. Because what do you think? Yeah. So they're like, they could all be adopted. And I said, do you really believe that? There's so many women who need children. Mm. But I worked for social services for years and years. Lots of these children are born into trauma and blah, blah, blah. I said, seriously, I've got to ask you, if you've got daughters, sisters, both, they have both. If one of them was raped, would you really want her to have to go through carrying that child? Mm. And then have a child and then give it up for adoption. Is that really what you would want for your sisters and your daughter? I never really thought about it like that. So I'm like, well, how do you think?
That's just the conditioning though, isn't it? The way that state is, that a lot of the states in America are, like you say, they've never they're told one thing and that's what they believe, and then that's sort of reinforced. And yeah, it's terrifying, but good on you for actually going out there and speaking out and making them think outside the box.
Yeah, I mean, I did find it fascinating and I did learn so much. I learned lots from them as well. So it was, you know, just it really, because that's your worst fear, right? We block people we don't agree with, and we don't follow people we don't agree with, and so we don't learn from each other. So yeah, to me, that's the most important thing about connecting with other humans, is that we learn from each other.
100%. Yeah, and having these conversations and opening up the debates, like you say, and thinking from another point of view, and not being so small-minded that we think that whatever we're told is right, or whatever we think is right. It's having the information, isn't it, to draw an informed choice or an informed decision.
I mean, that's all I try to do, is start conversations. I think I get described as outrageous. Oh God, she's wild, that one. And I just am trying to start conversations, or make conversations normal, and take the shame out of talking about masturbation, and take the shame out of, you know, wanting bloody sex. I'm fucking horny, I want sex.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I think that we're particularly in this country, we're very prudish, aren't we? And the second you go, oh, sex, or oh, masturbation, or sex toys, or anything like that, it's like, oh, shocking. And I think people like yourselves and conversations like this is really sort of taking the stigma away and making it okay for women to want pleasure and to want things and to want to feel sexual and to want to feel powerful and to want to take up space for themselves, exactly, and for no one else.
Yes, for themselves and no one else but themselves.
I love that.
And that doesn't make it selfish. It doesn't make it selfish. It makes you a role model to your children. It shows your husband what you deserve. It should make your husband proud of you, or your partner. It doesn't have to be
anybody,
a husband. It can be anybody. Or all your partners, if you have lots of them. Although, personally, I can't cope with one. I can barely cope with myself. Can you imagine?
It'd be just complicated, yeah.
Through doing this sort of sex education work, I've met so many empowered, liberated, sexually liberated people living in so many interesting setups who have followed their, you know, their desires. And it's so freeing to work with these people. Yeah. I could not personally handle a polyamorous relationship. I just, but it blows my mind, the relationship that these people have and create in these dynamics. I'm like, fucking hell, nah. But I'm in full admiration for anyone chasing their happiness.
Yeah, how wonderful as well that people can do that and embrace it and it be accepted.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we want to get, isn't it? Where people can, as long as no one's hurting anybody and everything's consensual, then it's all fine,
exactly,
I think.
For sure.
But I would love to chat to you today. With Hot and Bothered, we try and talk about taboo subjects or things that, you know, have got a bit of a stigma behind them. And the topic I want to talk about with yourself today is menopause.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that came up in one of my other episodes. I was chatting to interviewing a lady, and we just touched on menopause very slightly. And I was like, oh my God, we need to talk about this more. So I'm 41, 42 this year. So I haven't yet reached an age, because it can happen much earlier than this. But I haven't had any symptoms as far as I'm aware yet. I'm not perimenopausal, I'm not menopausal, but I know that it's sort of imminent. And I, again, feel like it's something that more women are talking about nowadays. You've got fabulous women like Davina McCall and Lisa Snowden who are actually having these conversations, and yourself. But I still feel like it's something that women are, it's almost like it's a shameful thing.
It's shameful because it involves our sexual bits. Or, you know, it's why I said to someone the other day, she was saying, I just have these terrible rages. She was saying, my husband treats me like shit.
Right.
And we were talking, and then the next day she called me back and she said, I feel really bad because it's not just him. I don't think I owned my part in that. Like, I'm having these awful rages. I'm really vile to everyone. And I went, mate, I would just go get your hormones checked, because to me, that just sounds like you're perimenopausal. And I said, but the most important thing is that you tell him, so he knows what that's all about.
Yeah.
You know, it's not great, but it's also part of this journey. Yeah. And she went, I can't talk to him about that. He's way too prudish. I'm like too prudish about the bloody menopause. It wasn't prudish enough when your kids were coming out.
Yeah, to have sex with you.
Yeah, prudish.
Yeah, but I always feel like growing up, I didn't know what the menopause was. It was just the change. She's going through, it was always a bit of an aside with like my mum and her friends, like, oh, but she's going through the change.
Yeah.
But what is the change? It felt very negative. Mm-hmm. Like it was, oh, you know, or what? It's almost like, oh, what a shame. Like that's it. It's like the end. The end of a woman's life. She's old now.
Yeah, she's old. Yeah. Yeah, because in scientific terms, I guess that's the end of our baby-making options, if we were lucky enough to have them. It is, you know, it's officially you're old. It's all over. It used to be, you know, and women thought that too. Whereas somebody asked me the other day, what did you anticipate getting older? And I actually have no idea at all what I thought about.
I've not thought about it.
I mean, I just didn't imagine I'd be just really feeling like I'm getting going at 52.
Yeah.
I think I thought I was supposed to have a bit more pension. I think that I'm still probably supposed to have a bit more pension ready. Bloody hell, give me a break.
Oh, well.
Oh, I have needs. I genuinely didn't think I'd even get that far. I think for a long time I thought I'd die in a very rock and roll dramatic incident in Las Vegas involving some sort of like sex scene and too many drugs.
There's still time, Luke. There's still time.
There's still time. Maybe we should manifest that a bit harder. I don't know. I just don't imagine myself. I've never imagined myself in an old people's home. I think maybe I've always just thought about, I'll just keep going and see what happens, which seems to be the theme of my life.
Well, that's really working for you. I love that.
So I'm giving it my best shot. I'm like, fuck it. I don't know. I think you get to a certain age. I'm not sure you're quite there yet, but when you get to probably around late 40s, you just start to give less fucks. Maybe it comes at the turn of 50. Mm. Something happens. It's just a natural thing. You're just like,
don't care anymore. No, for me, I actually genuinely feel like I hit 40. I had a lot of shit that went on with my job, lost my job, joined OnlyFans, other way around, but really found myself and got to that point where I thought, why do I care so much what people think? Like, it boils down to me and me being happy and my loved ones being happy. And that's what's important. Everyone else can just like do one, because genuinely it doesn't matter, does it? In the bigger picture, if you're not happy.
Exactly.
And I was in a place where I wasn't very happy. And actually I stood my ground and went, oh my God, I finally feel like, and I'm still not quite there as in like finding myself, but I feel like I'm on that journey. And that's what I love about you is that I read somewhere that you said that you didn't really feel like you started finding yourself until you hit your 50s. And I, like you say, when I was younger, I probably looked at a 40-year-old and went, oh God, that's old, isn't it? And actually, 40s is, so far, my best decade.
Yeah, he's going.
I feel the most confident. I feel the most sexual. I feel the most, like I love it. I love it. And I feel like, for the first time, I feel like a woman. Like,
right.
I feel like I can really embody that and I can have a voice, and I'm giving myself permission rather than letting other people, or waiting for other people to give me permission.
So that is a huge thing. When I do my talks, I've started doing a lot more of them. I did a lot in America and now I'm doing them around Britain, all over the place.
Oh my God, I've got to come.
And one of the things I talk about is permission. A lot of people say to me, you give me permission too. Da-da-da. And so when people come to my talk, I ask them to think about what it is they would give themselves permission to do. And I get them to write them down, and they range from, I'm just going to pull because I've got all different ones in here. These are some of the permissions people would give themselves. I want to wank in front of my husband.
Oh, yes, girl. Love that.
I give myself permission to fall in love again with my heart and my body and my independence.
Oh, I love that.
I give myself permission to sunbathe topless. Exactly. They can be so simple. One was, I give myself permission to go running in a crop top. I give myself permission to live my best life regardless of my disabilities.
These are so nice.
I mean, some of them are so simple, but I've been collecting them because I want to. This one, look, I give myself permission to be me.
Some of these are things that you don't even think that you would need, right?
Right, but these are a glimpse of all the simplest things or the most deepest desires women have. And by sharing them or by talking to other people, what you do is you give yourself permission by saying it out loud, and then you give that woman in turn permission, and it's sort of like a trickle effect of permission.
Amazing.
I don't know entirely what to do with them all. I'm just collecting them.
These are wonderful.
Oh yeah, there's a book. So
good. There's a book there. I love that. Yes.
My permission slips are very precious.
These are sort of breaking my heart a little bit.
That's the thing, I think. Being brave or being confident is lots of different things for different people. Some people, it's just simply getting out of bed.
Yeah.
For other people, it's driving a bus around America on their own. It's like, you know, I'm the extreme. I like to show women what's possible with a positive mindset. If you just think about things a little bit differently, you know, you can change your entire day. If you seek out gratitude and make that a practice in your life, it makes, when the shit things happen, because the shit things do
happen. Always happen, yes.
And they happen to everybody. What you need to think about is, how do you show up for all your shit when it happens? Because it will. And it's inevitable. You know, when you have kids, they're going to smoke weed. They're probably going to finger someone at school. Chances are they might get pregnant. What you want to do with your kids is keep the conversation going.
Yeah, right? You want to keep that open so they feel comfortable to speak to you about everything and anything. Yeah,
they're going to lie to you. They're going to fib. Yeah. So if they do get the girlfriend pregnant, they come to you and they get proper advice and don't go doing something stupid.
Yeah, 100%.
It's about being realistic. And none of these things are complicated or expensive or cost anything. They're just a way of thinking. I'm like the worst influencer. I'm not really a sell stuff. I'm crap. You won't really see me selling stuff. I sell a way of thinking, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's the best. That's the best type of influencer there is, because you're doing it from a place of relatability, and you show yourself being vulnerable and really open and honest. And I think that's wonderful.
I think what you said about going on your journey. Sorry, going back. I just wanted to say, when you said about your journey into you know, understanding yourself, that never ends, by the way.
Yeah, and I know, I love that though. I'm really enjoying exploring that and feeling all the feels
going with it.
Yeah, and having the days where I feel really shitty and low and down and not myself and lost, and then having the days where I feel really awesome and on top of the world and excitable and like I can take on anything. With your sort of the way that you, so you're very positive, you do have that don't give a fuck attitude. I feel like your mindset is, you're in a really, You can sort of navigate your way through all the shitty parts of life, it seems, with your positive mindset. So where are you at with the menopause, first of all, if you don't mind me asking? And how has that sort of fed into your experience of the symptoms, what you've had? And we'll chat a little bit more about that.
Well, I am on the latter end of things. I still get the rages, and I still have, it's all dried up and gone. So theoretically out the other side, but I still feel a cycle, you know. So one week I'm horny, one week I'm hungry, one week I'm skinny.
I can
never figure out which one it is.
I feel like that's just being a woman, isn't it? Like, we just, every day it's different. Yeah.
But oh my god, the hot flush is my worst symptom. I was so lucky. I was physically quite fit. And I think, I really swear to God, that made so much difference. It gave me a confidence in my body.
Yes.
It gave me a real knowledge of my body,
which is really important.
I went to a retreat this weekend, actually.
We did. It looked amazing.
Yes. It was really, really good. We did a movement class. You wanted to make us more thoughtful about how we move on the trail, how we're carrying our backpacks, how we're moving with our poles, how we're connecting with earth as well. So that was nice. There was a spirituality to it too. And being more efficient as middle-aged women, how we move our hips, good warm-up practices, really, really enlightening. But we did a lot of tuning into our body and really working, you know, really giving our body time. And I do that quite a lot. But I found it really useful this weekend, just in that space to do it and really just give yourself time to connect with your body and understand it. And I do, with fitness, you get to know your body so well. And I really think that gave me a strength mentally and physically to get through the rockier time and to have a routine and to go and sweat the fucking shit out of me at the gym. And I was outside hiking a lot, and, you know, fresh air made such a difference. And my girlfriends, when I moved to America, I got into hiking culture and set up a hiking squad of women. And for many years, it was lots of strangers came and went each week. It was just invite a mate, bring some lunch, let's go. And then there was a group of, a hardcore group of eight of us that really stuck together. And we ended up hiking the Grand Canyon, loads of volcanoes.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
We had the most incredible adventures together.
Yeah.
But it was such good therapy. We dropped the kids at school. We climbed a mountain while they were at school because where we lived was just ridiculously. We were ridiculously blessed.
Wow.
And very lucky. And we made the most of it. But yeah, we dropped the kids at school and we'd go hiking. We'd hike to the top of the mountain. Fucking kids. Fucking husband. Neck a can of wine, have a picnic at the top, looking at a volcano, and then like rah, 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 all the way back down again.
And then be fine because you've vented yeah. everything throughout the day.
Free therapy.
Yeah.
And also there's some great tools for tuning into your body. Obviously yoga, anything sort of quite calming. I can't get on with it. I don't know why.
Can't get on board with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, rather climb a mountain.
Well, that's it. It's, you choose your own thing, don't you? That whatever works yeah. for you is important.
Find yeah. what suits you. It could yeah. be Zumba. It could just move. Keep moving, and understanding your body is so important. Everybody wangles on about journaling. I know it's like on Instagram, everyone's journal this, journal that. But seriously, I mean, if you can do courses in journaling. I know a friend of mine, Nat, Style Me Sunday, she does a journaling and manifestation workshop that are superb.
Oh, but
journaling.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
she's
yeah,
wonderful.
She?
Yeah.
I love her to death.
Yeah.
She does a manifesting course too. So if you're more interested in opening your mind spiritually, I found that incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
But journaling, you don't have to do a course. Buy a notebook. We all love a notebook.
Yeah.
Buy a
Who
notebook.
Love stationery, yeah.
You don't have to sit down and dear diary
yeah.
it for hours on end because everybody's tired and knackered and had two glasses of wine at night, can't yeah. be bothered. So that's why I listen to audiobooks because I've had two gin and tonics and I can't read the words, so I listen to yeah. audiobooks. Find what works
easier.
For you. Buy a book and just write how you feel. And try to do something every day if you can, even if it's only a line. And you can start to sort of like track your mood and track your pattern and track your cycle. That's quite handy. And just writing down your feelings
yeah.
really helps because you have to kind of choose the words to write. You have to go through that process of thinking of writing it down. Often it helps just to write it down. You work through what you're thinking just by writing it down. And honestly, that's good therapy. They'll ask you the right question.
Yeah.
You'll give yourself your own answer and you all kept going, fuck yeah. me, that cost me 50 quid and I knew it all anyway. And with journaling, you can often do that for yourself, especially if yeah. you read back, keep reading what you've written and you can see how things are changing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if something making you feel uncomfortable, if you're in a relationship
yeah.
you're not sure about, and that could be your partner in life or it could be a friend, you're just like, that didn't feel right. Write it down and come back to it when you're in a better mood. Give it a bit of space before you have an argument
yeah.
with it. Just
yeah.
sort of like, see that. That's really helpful. There's a great app called Mood. And actually, it was designed by a guy. I said that by a guy.
Yeah, you were like, and a guy.
I mean, I like to recommend women-owned brands where I can. I love this man. He's a dear friend. And he suffered with depression for years and years and years. Very chronic, like crippling, debilitating depression. And he's out there doing a lot of work, trying to get men to talk more. And I'm happy to see that there is a lot more men's groups springing up all over.
Yeah, oh, 100%, yes.
But supporting men's mental health.
Yeah, it's so important.
Because we do a lot of man bashing and, you know, all bloody men.
Yeah.
Which is a bit shit when we want equality. To me, I'm a bit over man-hating feminism.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more for let's have more. If we don't all understand each other and talk to each other and help each other understand and educate.
And how are we going to get anywhere? We've got to all be in this together and support each other together. Yeah, 100%.
But he developed an app. It's so simple. You literally, say you pick green, you pick a colour and you have five shades of green and that's your mood chart. So dark green is I feel heavy and crap, and light green is I feel fucking wicked. And what it can be, whatever you want in the middle. Each day you literally click a color how you felt that day, what was your overwhelming mood that day, and very quickly you can build up a picture of your mood. It's really simple.
You can sort of see a pattern.
You set a reminder to yourself to do it, and then almost within 2 or 3 months you start to get quite a clear pattern of your mood. And if you keep a journal as well, you can kind of match the two together and start to see. It's just really useful. It's
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to chat to you about what were useful tools, and obviously you've now just covered a few of those, which is amazing. And I think exercise is a huge one. And are you still into your CrossFit? Is that
I am.
Something you do quite a lot? And that I find exercise, so weightlifting, training, again, just connecting with your body, moving, so important. And I think it's one of the biggest things that can be a really big help to symptoms of the menopause, isn't it? So it's fantastic, like you say, if women can find that thing that they're comfortable doing, even if it's just getting out in the fresh air once a day and having a walk, just to connect with yourself and how you're feeling. And the journaling, I do. I love journaling. And there are some amazing journals out there as well that sort of do it for you. Like they ask the questions.
Yeah, guide
they
you.
Have the smiley, mm-hmm. sad faces. And you can literally just, it takes you 2 minutes, if that, to just sit and write down a few little things and keep that. And putting pen to paper does help so much in getting it off your chest, doesn't it? And how you're feeling.
I tell you what, the brain fog is really real. So you literally just forget words. They vanish from your actual...
How crazy is that?
Do you remember when your mum did it all the time and you'd be really annoyed with your mum?
Well, she still does. She, calls you the wrong name. And I'm like, I'll just take whatever at this point. Yeah.
But the brain fog that comes with the menopause is literally, you spend half the time worrying you're getting Alzheimer's.
Yeah, because you just can't remember things.
Yeah, you forget. And so you think, especially when you're younger, I think, you think you'll never forget this time. You'll never forget this moment. You'll never forget how great this was. You'll never forget how awful this was. You really do. You forget that feeling in the moment. So it's actually quite nice to have old journals to look back on and see how far you've come.
Yeah. So did you know that you were going through the menopause when it started? Were you aware of what the menopause was? Was it a bit of a shock to you? What were your initial symptoms? What was the sort of thing that made you go, hang on, something's not quite right?
Suddenly I woke up one morning and you just have an entire stomach that had come from nowhere. And I don't, you know, I keep super fit. And you get more bloaty. My feet grew half a size.
What?
I don't know if it's an actual scientific menopausal fact, but my feet grew when I had Oscar and when I was pregnant, and they grew again another half, a flipping size, half my shoes stopped fitting.
But it happened.
I was on the pill.
Oh my gosh.
And I just used to take it continuously. So I hadn't bled for absolute years. And then I said to my friend, I went on holiday and I forgot a packet. And I was like, oh, we gone for like 3 weeks. I was like, oh, lordy lord. And I never bled again.
Really?
So I was so lucky.
That, your periods just never started again. That was mm-hmm. sort of it.
Mm-hmm. But then came the hormone
right.
surges and rages, and I actually considered just going back on the pill because I maintained a really level balance. It just suited me. I was just lucky, I think. But yeah, God only knows what we've done to our bodies over the years.
Well, this is it.
But I mean,
we just
I'm,
don't know, do
I'm
we?
An advocate.
Yeah.
I'm an advocate for tuning in. Mm-hmm. And really deciding what you're struggling with, just see what happens. Don't dread it, just sort of like go with the flow. You know, there's so many preconceived ideas around it too. I mean, it can be awful. I think the hormone rages and the weight gain is often the hardest one for everybody.
The rages was something that I wasn't aware of, and that's what drew my attention in a previous interview, was that the lady I was chatting to just said that she got so angry, like, but to the point where she couldn't control this anger, and she'd never been like that ever. And that's something that I'd never heard of. You hear of the hot flushes, don't you? You sort of hear of the weight gain. You hear of the brain fog, but you don't really hear of much else. I wrote down some of the symptoms. Anxiety. I reached out to my Instagram followers as well and sort of asked what experience they had in the menopause, what it affected the most. Mood, mental health was 42%. Sleep was 13%. Sex drive was 35%. Self-esteem was 10%. And then the rest was sort of like energy, really low energy, feeling really lethargic. And I had quite a lot of women that said they felt really suicidal, which is like, that is shocking to me that it can affect your mood to that point, to where you feel like there's no hope.
I mean, it's a hormone hell.
Yeah.
It's hormone hell.
It really is.
You can help. There's so many things you can do. You know, we've touched on quite a lot of them. It's not all bad. 35%. It depends how about the sex drive.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, because interestingly, I did a survey with a couple of brands that I work with. Love Mama Tero make amazing products for vagina wellness. So she and her boyfriend went to Vegas, had sex in a hot tub. She got a hideous infection. They couldn't get rid of it with conventional medicine. So he created her a tincture out of natural products. This whole brand has stemmed from this.
It's grown from that. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she's like, you know, you put one thing in another thing and it upsets your pH balance. It's perfectly natural.
Yeah.
But she does some really nice things. I actually just have one sitting here. That's like a really bad ad. But she's got some salve, and it's not an ad at all. I just really love what she's doing. She's got a beautiful salve that can help with dryness. Also, some of the vibrators, the ones that thrust, they actually are designed to bring, they encourage the blood flow to the labia and to your vulva.
Yeah.
So they actually help produce the juice.
Amazing.
So Fun Factory, who are the sex toy brand, and Love Mud Montero, who both sponsored my tour last year, they joined together to bring out a menopause, midlife menopause kit. So a smaller vibrator if you are feeling tight and dry, yeah. Nice lube, the thrusting vibrator that encourages the blood flow. But also they did a huge study of women, and actually a huge amount, something like 61% actually reported an increase in libido and actually felt sexier. And I think that that comes
from using the sex toys.
No, just with menopause.
Oh, just increasing, yeah. Menopause. Amazing. See, menopause. This is not a statistic that you hear about.
No, it's not.
We're not told that we're going to feel sexier or that we're going to feel hornier, are we?
No.
We're told the opposite, but that's amazing.
You've got regular validity periods. That's gone.
Yeah.
See ya. Bye. Brilliant.
Don't have to deal with that anymore. Yeah.
Right. You ain't got to worry about getting pregnant.
Yeah.
The kids have just probably, you know, if you're going through this in your late 40s, early 50s, the kids are about to probably leave home if they've not gone already.
Yeah.
And you're left with this whole new chapter. And that, my friend, is the change. See, I think the change was invented, like they said that, men said that, because they were like, shit me, all these women are just like getting juicier and hornier and they're all, and but also
and
they're
free.
Finding the confidence and standing up for themselves and not leaving their husbands. Shirley Valentine.
Oh, she's to blame, isn't she? I
she
love
is.
That.
Yes. I nearly called the bus Shirley, but I was trying to describe it to women. I thought everywhere I go, people are going to say, why Shirley? And then I'd have to get into
the
whole discussion
about Shirley. Oh, you'd have to get into the story every time.
Because they've never heard of her.
Yeah.
And then mum died, so that solved that, and she became Susie.
Oh, gorgeous. Oh, is she named after your mum then?
She is.
Oh, I love that.
I know, it's so nice.
I love that.
It's nice.
That's so nice. But so you've spoken previously about being single during menopause and said that your sex life got better.
No, I said my horniness got better.
Well, okay, so your libido increased.
Yeah.
You got hornier during, which is amazing. I love that. Like I say, statistically, you don't ever hear. And I think that would give women hope, because it can affect a lot of women negatively, or that's what we're told, or that's what we hear.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think everybody thinks I've always been a sort of mad vibrator wielding sex maniac. Well, I mean, I enjoyed a lot of sex in my youth. And I met my husband.
Yeah.
And it was, I think probably almost from the beginning, was never a huge priority, but I've fell in love with this man, and you know, there were so many other parts of our life we were happy in, and our sex life was just never really a huge thing for us.
Yeah.
I wasn't unhappy, it was just how it was.
Yeah.
I wasn't lying there thinking, oh, he's such a bad husband. It was just wasn't on our priority list for each other, and we were busy and we were happy.
Yeah.
And then I got into my late 40s and found my confidence. I posted a picture of myself naked and got a dick pic from someone at the gym, a 26-year-old at the gym.
Right.
And I hate giving this dick this power, because it wasn't even that great. But it was, I felt horny. It gave me a fanny flutter. And it's the first time in...
Yeah, you suddenly went, oh, there's a feeling. Yeah.
And I went, oh, what's that feeling? And then I went, yeah. Oh my God, I don't even remember what this feeling is.
Yeah.
And I realised that was not okay.
Yeah.
And I was actually quite good at sex. I spent a long time getting really good at it. These yeah. skills are not going for waste.
So don't let that go to waste.
Yeah. And then so began, unfortunately, the end of my marriage and all the beginnings of the end of my marriage, but also me starting to work for a vibrator company. And then the more I wanked, so I moved into the spare room with this huge box of vibrators, and my job was to test them.
Oh my God. Tell me how you got that job and let me pass my number on.
I'm nailing divorce, quite frankly, at this point. I was nailing it. This is all good. Although it was only the spare room, so it was slightly awkward. But anyway, I just wandering around with a vibrator in my hand all day going, well, that one was good. But oh, sorry, we've separated.
Can't show you. Sorry.
I shouldn't have said that. That was terrible. But the more I actually wanked, the sexier I feel. You know when you haven't had sex with your partner for a while, yeah. and then you do it again and you go, shit, we
should do that more. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. So, but this is the first time I've done this for me. Yeah. Sex has always been about somebody else.
And pleasing somebody else. And yeah.
Yeah. And this is about me. And it's another part of knowing my body and getting to know my body as I age.
Yeah.
What I like and what I, you know, what makes me happy and what turns me on.
And makes you feel good. And
yeah, I've been coaching yeah. one of my good friends who's always grew up in a very religious home, very ashamed to touch herself, never really masturbated. She's separated from her husband. She's been dating a bit, but they're all dickheads. And I'm like, could you just stop with the dating apps for a minute and give yourself a hot minute
yeah.
and just fall in love with your body? She runs a multi-million dollar company around the world. This woman is not at home in her own body. So I got her a couple of vibrators and things to try. And she rang me one afternoon. She went, guess what? And I went, what? She went, I'm leaving work early. I'm going home to have a wank. She was like, I can't concentrate. Anyway, so now, so then she changed the age of the man she's looking for in Tinder because she was looking for 35-year-olds. She's 50. She's changed her dating profile to go for a grown-up.
Yes.
And she went for a date with a grown-up and they ended up in bed. And she called me the next day and she said, you know what he loved the most? And I went, what? She went, my confidence, the fact that I was telling him what I wanted and what I liked. She went, can you believe it? And I'm like, hallelujah.
Oh, that's amazing.
This is what it's about. It's about meeting partner at the middle, right? And having a say in what you goddamn want, be it in bed or at home.
Yeah. It works both ways, doesn't it?
I just wish that I'd had the confidence to do that with my husband and to have... If I'd done that, we could have had better communication and better dialogue, and we wouldn't. Maybe we could have found our path back to each other and saved our marriage. We couldn't because we'd let it go too far and too much had happened and nothing dreadful. There was nothing dreadful. It's just a really, really sad, disappointing end. We just really lost each other. But yeah, somebody just described me as a divorce influencer.
That's not a thing. That's not a thing.
I went, that's not what I am. I'm about... finding your confidence and considering yourself a partner and standing up for what you want and what you like. So, yeah.
Amazing. Did the sex toys, masturbation, did that help during menopause, do you think? Like, do you think that was one of the key things that sort of helped you feel sexual and connect with your body and get you through and keep you in that positive mindset?
Absolutely. In some ways, you do really lose touch with your body because it's all out of your control again. It's like your period. There's nothing you can do. If the cramps come, the cramps come. Your boobs swell up, your hips widen. You know, a whole body is designed to accommodate somebody else. Every month, it's like, ooh, don't forget. You know, it's shit. And for a lot of women, it is a really sad period. A lot of women are sad that they can't give birth or there is a grief maybe of, you know, if you have been able to be a mother, if you haven't been able to give a mother, become a mother, if you've had trauma in any way, shape or form and grieving that part of us, that's a real thing also, you know, but it's up to you. Some things in life are not up to you. So the way your body is going to react is out of your control. How you react to it and what you do for it to help yourself is up to you.
Yeah, 100%. And like we say, there are lots of ways that you can.
Seize the day. Make the most of every day. Like, enjoy life. I think that's part of giving less fucks, is just embracing everything that comes your way and saying yes and saying, fuck it.
Yeah, I saw that you you quoted somewhere that you're basically having it, just saying yes to everything, even the things that scare you. And actually, if something doesn't scare you, then it's probably not the right thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
And I love that mindset. I love that mentality. I think that's wonderful.
Life's like the party you don't want to go to. So, you know, the party you don't want to go to, you're knackered, you can't be bothered, you know you really should, but you really have to drag your ass there. And when you get there, it's always wicked. And then there's the part, there's New Year's Eve. Everyone's like, New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve, New Year's Eve. Everyone's like, where are you going? Don't know. It's too expensive. Can't get in. There's a guest list. There's always a fight. Yeah. It's always shit. No one can be bothered. It's like, it's so funny. If you feel that you don't want to do it or don't want to go to the party, that's usually the one you should try. It turned out and surprise you.
When you should just try it and do it. Yeah. And it sounds like really connecting with women, which you're amazing at, and amazing, like supporting other women. But that sounds like that really was a key to your journey as well.
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in community. My dad was a vicar, so I grew up in the church, and I love that religious bit aside. You know, being gathered together in common purpose is just always ace. They say you get a gang of women for a night out. You know what's the worst thing in the world if you're a woman? If you're in a gang of girls and they all go away for the girls' weekend, for some reason you can't go, it's like the worst FOMO. Yeah. You know you've missed that magic.
The magic connection, yeah.
And for years, they'll be going, oh, do you remember when we went to Vegas and you weren't there? And you're like, oh. It could be church. It can be your mates. It can be your football team. But when you're sort of like, or your sports gym or your class that you're in, you're all in that moment together, sharing that moment. Yeah. It bonds you. And I did the hike squad. Obviously, we had so many adventures together. But in my gym, we were always going on adventures together. There was a big running race every year. But yeah, and I think Instagram, I just wanted to build some sort of community, which I'm really proud of the community that I've built on there. you know, it grew a lot during lockdown. People were, when lockdown started, I decided I wanted to just entertain the internet and keep everybody positive. And then people started coming just to me for being me, which blows my mind. You know, I'm like, hang on a minute, you're wandering around, you know, doing talks and empowering people just by being you. And for years, having told to shut up and pipe down, you know, be a good girl, you know, I'm glad I'm me. But yeah, gathering other women around you is so important so you can share. So important. It can be one person, it can be a gang, but find people, go out and look for them. I have so many people reach out to me online because I share so much of a personal journey. I think a lot of people respond and share back with me, to me, which I find incredible privilege. But I was like, so many women find it hard to find other women actually. And so when I started off on my bus tour, the idea was that I would throw events as I went and then I'd connect people in their local area. If I throw an event, hopefully followers will come and like-minded people will gather. And then I'll introduce them all and then I'll bugger off. And that's exactly what I did. There's loads.
And then you've built a little community within that. Yeah.
Communities and as I go. And that's what I'm, you know, trying to do here. And so the bus is coming. The bus, I'm literally leaving for New York tomorrow. I'm going to pick the bus up from New York, put her on a ship in Baltimore. I've got to drive her down and then she's coming over. God. And then I'm going to drive. I found out yesterday I've got to do an HGV driving license.
Oh my gosh.
So that's going to be hilarious.
You'll smash it. You've been driving around America. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
But then I found out that my driving license expired in 2013.
Oh, okay. Might need to get that bit sorted.
So yeah, I've got a lot on at the moment, so that should be fun. But that's the idea.
Oh, it's wonderful though. What I think people connect with you so much online as well, because you do show your vulnerability as well. And I think it, I've watched some of your videos and I just think it's so honest and open and not lovely to see in a, you know, I don't want to see you upset, but really nice to see that raw, vulnerable side, because I think online there is such a, there is the Insta versus reality, isn't there? And there's a lot of people that you don't see their full lives on there. And I feel like with you, Lou, we really do. And I feel like that's why people can really connect to you. And I think it's wonderful. And I think having those honest and vulnerable conversations is just marvelous. And I think it gives other women permission to feel the same and to, you know, sort of go through those emotions and not feel like they're on their own. I watched one of your videos and you got quite upset and then the next minute you were jumping on the bed and I was like, oh my God, I love this. But what would your advice be to other women that are maybe feeling quite low or like a little bit lost going through the menopause or not sure like where to turn, like how do you turn that mindset around? What would be the like the one piece of advice that you'd give to sort of say this is the key to sort of turning it around?
I don't know if it turned the whole thing around, but I would buy another notebook, because I love a notebook, or you can do it in your journal. In fact, do it in the journal.
Yeah.
For 5 days, write down every good thing that happened to you all day long. Carry your notepad with you all day and write down every good thing. And that I mean from, you know, the first cup of coffee of the day. Sometimes you put too much milk in or you haven't put enough coffee in the pot. It can vary.
Yeah.
If you, when you nail it or you nail a good cup of tea and you get the milk right and you just drink it when it's the right temperature and you're like, fuck yeah. And then if you've got a biscuit at the same time and it all comes together in a beautiful harmonious crescendo. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the sun came out. I slept through the night. I feel good today. Somebody opened the door for me. Someone said I had a nice outfit on. Yeah. Someone held the door open for me. I mean, like literally every tiny thing. I saw a daffodil. Every tiny thing. You do that for 5 or 6 days, you start to realize how many good things happen in a day. Yeah. And then it becomes a little practice. And then very soon after that, you don't have to do it forever because honestly, it's tiresome because there's a lot of good things happen in a day if you start looking for them. And then all of a sudden, after a few days, once you start looking for them and you start seeking it out. And then gradually, hopefully, you start to notice that they outweigh the shitty bits. There's loads of shit bits.
Yeah.
And knowing that the shit bits are going to happen.
But we just don't focus on them.
Yeah. You know the shit bits are going to happen. Ride it out when it comes. Buckle in and just know it will pass. Stop getting in your own way. What, are you finding excuses not to do the thing? Do the thing.
Yeah.
Do the thing. Stop thinking about reasons why you can't do something and think about why you can do something. And all of those things combined with getting fitter, feeling good about your body, feeling stronger about your body. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is perfect.
No one's perfect.
You just take control of your body.
Yeah.
Start to train your mind a little better. And this is all very well and good because life is exhausting and work is hard and your boyfriend's fucked you up and your kids are little shithead and the teenagers you know, you can't control the teenagers. So it's all very well and good, but try and make a little bit of space to do some of those things.
Just try. It's a baby step.
And it builds up. It builds up. And enjoy it. Go, yes, I've got a fresh start today.
Yeah. Do you know one thing that I do that I love? I read it somewhere and I've started doing it, is in the morning, I'll just look out the window or look up to the sky and I'll go, show me how good it can get. And I literally, that's my little mantra. I'm like, show me. Like, putting it out to the universe. I'm like, bring it on. Show me how good it can get. I still might have a really shit day, but I've done it. I've put it out there.
Done it.
And that's my little thing.
yes.
Right, we are nearly out of time, Lou. I did do, on one of the polls I asked, surprisingly, a lot of women didn't know the difference between the menopause and the perimenopause. So I asked, you know, the difference between the two. Yes said 49% and no said 51%. So can we just quickly go over perimenopause and menopause, what they are, what the difference is, because I think there's a lot of confusion out there.
There is. And there's also just a lot of aging going on. So we often mistake peri for just actual just bones, muscles are a bit harder to get going in the morning. Signs for the perimenopause really are very similar to the menopause. You might notice a start changing in your bleeding or your cycle. You might get more discharge. You might start to feel more lethargic. You might find a brain fog creeping in. You might start to notice your hormones all over the place a little bit more. Think of it as the foreplay for the real thing.
It's just getting you the mood, the vogue. Yeah.
It's getting you in the mood.
Yeah.
It's getting you in the mood. But don't panic, because and you may not even get it. Roll with it. Understand your body. Get to know it as best you can. And then you'll recognise changes and be able to identify what is going on for you a bit better.
And then menopause technically is...
Menopause is brilliant. You'll be really happy.
It's when you haven't had a period for 12 months, isn't it? So that's officially when you're in menopause. But yeah, I love your mindset. I love how confident and positive you are. And I think you're a ray of fucking sunshine. We know that. We love that. And thank you so much for chatting to us.
Yeah, thank you.
And for being so honest and open in this conversation. And good luck with... What is next for you? What's happening? You're going getting Susie, you're bringing her over here. Are you doing a tour of the UK? Can we come see you? Can I come?
I'm going to do a tour. I'm doing clothes swaps. I'm doing festivals. I'm doing talks all over the place.
Amazing.
I've got a podcast coming out on Global. There's so many things happening.
Many things. You're so busy. I love it. I love you spreading the joy. If you want to find out more about where Lou's going to be, then follow her on Instagram at Lou in Louland.
Yeah.
But yeah, Lou, thank you so much. You've been amazing. I really appreciate your time. And
thanks for having me on. It's lovely to meet you properly.
Good luck with your journey.
I'll see you. See you soon. Mwah.
As always, thank you so much for listening to Hot and Bothered. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review and don't forget to follow so you never miss an episode. See you next time.